WCJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. The Bloc Québécois are running a candidate in the Notre-Dame-de-Grâce-Westmount riding. Félix Antoine Brault is in his mid-20s. He lives in NDG and has since childhood. He teaches French at CJEP. Brault says with the tariffs from the United States, economic independence for Quebec is still top of mind for the Bloc Québécois.
The Bloc is here to defend Quebec's specificities, be it its gestion de l'offre, be it its aerospatial industry, its technologies, the wood industry, the forestry industry. All of those are under threat with the unpredictable president down south.
But Brault still makes a case for the Bloc Québécois in national parliament.
Oftentimes, it happens that provinces share interests when it comes to the federal not overstepping its boundaries. Therefore, what's good for Quebec in terms of having our constitutional and legal rights respected also, oftentimes, is good for the rest of Canada, for other provinces.
On the topic of housing, the Bloc wants to see housing managed on a smaller level.
The Bloc Québécois, first of all, wants Canada to transfer the sums it will invest in housing back to Quebec, because we strongly believe that local actors, municipalities, they are the governments who know their people best.
When it comes to the environment, the Bloc has maintained that new pipelines would not be allowed to pass through Quebec. They also want to see a reduction in fossil fuel subsidies.
What we need is not to spend tens of billions of dollars in new pipelines to then roll back on emissions. What we need is to take that money right now, that $30 billion a year that's being invested in fossil fuels, and ideally that $40 billion that was invested overall since the nationalization of the Trans Mountain pipeline out west. That is our money, our taxpayer money, and right now it goes and has been going for years and years on end, no matter if the government was liberal or conservative, to directly polluting our environment and to making those few oil and gas companies richer.
After pressure from local activists, Brault has also fully endorsed the Vote for Palestine platform and stressed recognizing Palestinian statehood in our interview.
You will never hear any federal office say Palestine. Why? Because Canada, as a government, doesn't recognize the nation of Palestine. They will always say Palestinians, whether that's on CBC, on Radio-Canada, or asking for instance, the Liberals or the Conservatives. The Bloc recognizes Palestine, which is quite important, but also denounces the extreme actions taken on both sides. The Bloc doesn't stand with Hamas or with Iran trying to exterminate Israel.
The Bloc Québécois is dedicated to Quebec's sovereignty and nationalism, and NDG Westmount is Quebec's most densely Anglophone riding. Despite this, Brault says he feels at home. Here's what he had to say about his party's relationship to the riding.
The Anglophone minority is suffering just as much as we are from the neoliberal management handling the government and public affairs as if they were a business. That issue has been worsening all of our lives, no matter which language you speak. The Bloc Québécois wants to make sure that our interests, our collective interests as Quebecois, no matter what language you speak, are respected.
This has been part of CJLO's election coverage series with files from Zach Dutra. I'm Adam Innes with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless. My name is Miriam, and we have Judy and May with us today.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We missed you. It feels like it's been a long time, it's been one week.
Yeah, we were here last week, but yeah, it's been a long time. We love being here, so.
I know, yeah. We have a very interesting topic today. We're going to talk about beauty standards in the Arab world and how it reflects how the expectations in the Arab world are and how it's shown in women and how the idea of it could be society's expectations, beauty standards, psychological impact, mm-hmm. as well as the cultural shift that when you move from one country that
to
expects
another.
You to look a certain way right. to another country yeah. that kind of expects you to look a certain way as well, mm-hmm. in a way, mm-hmm. but also not.
Yeah.
To start off with our topic, we're going to start with some questions. What were some of the unspoken rules you had to follow growing up, especially as a girl? Like,
yeah, there's a lot. I feel like it's a common experience that people have as an Arab woman. The main one for me, and that I've heard from others, luckily my parents didn't really say it as much. They said it, but not as much as maybe some other girls may have experienced. But the being quiet, being always like showing a lot of space, not using a lot of space in the room, like sitting properly, talking properly, not smiling, not laughing too loud. The laughing too loud.
Oh yeah,
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Things like that. Things like subtle stuff that you may not notice when you're like in the moment, but then you realize later on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like for me, I'm a person who laughs a lot, and sometimes I don't control how I laugh, which is like, 'cause, I'm enjoying my time. So.
Yeah.
And same. Then like some taunt or some aunt or someone in the family just like mentions it as a joke, but it actually can affect you,
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, May?
I would say the same thing as like to sit properly, mm-hmm. like to have one foot above the other, mm-hmm. and like to speak calmly and like not to try to get all the attention in the room, mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. just to be this girl who goes to school and goes back home type vibe, you know what I mean? Or just like live a regular life, I would say.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's too regular, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
If I want to laugh without harming anyone just because I'm happy, that doesn't mean that I'm like someone who's from the streets, because usually a girl, as you said, Mimi, a girl who laughs out loud is like a girl from the streets. A girl who wears sleeveless shirts is like a girl from the streets.
Who can't control herself.
Bin Chawara, exactly. That's how I grew up. I grew up listening, hearing this word a lot, mm-hmm. when it comes to certain things that I now consider like normal, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree. There's a lot of unspoken things and spoken things.
Mm-hmm.
Things like sit properly, you shouldn't put your legs this way, you should put like this legs like these, and then you should like always have your
etiquette posture,
and like your face in a certain way, maybe like also your hair in a certain way.
Exactly.
It depends where you go.
Yeah.
As well as there's millions of things, not only in front of people, also at home.
Yeah.
I feel like this also pressure of like, okay, you need to like And it's out of respect.
True. Yeah.
And they're very subtle. Like, it's not like something like no one really makes a big deal out of it. They just tell you, like, you know, quietly, like, oh, by the way, like, okay, you know, like, okay, like, Ehdi, you know,
yeah,
you know, like there's like kind of this like to calm down, just like,
yeah.
So it's just very, they tell it to you in a normal, subtle, normal way without like making it a big deal. Then like you kind of like have to like, okay, oh my god, okay, actually, you know, like I have to like, you know, like, you know,
yeah,
you know,
no,
what I mean,
understand.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like it's something that really affects you, I think, when you're older. But do you know where do you know maybe where this comes from, like this idea, probably like societal expectations, but I think it's like deeper than that. I think it's like more,
I feel like comparisons between smaller societies, like for example, if you live in a neighborhood where like everyone knows each other and everyone has like different positions and whatever, and like there's like this, I don't know, they call it good jealousy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
I used to hear
that term a lot, like, oh, like it's good to be like jealous of these people for doing so and so, they're doing so and so,
so you can,
you
like,
know what I mean,
as
so
like,
become
as
like
good
as good as them. Yeah,
the comparisons people make,
it's horrible.
Crazy,
yeah. And I want to go back to the point where you guys said like about the at home stuff, you know, for example, like I know some girls who can't wear like very comfortable pajamas in front of their brothers, just because, like, they can't, like, aib.
And no, you have to be like, look decent. You cannot just wear shorts and like
wear shorts
around the room.
Yeah,
you should wear like long pants, short
slippers,
whatever, like whatever way. But like even in that, like even sitting with them, like there's a certain way that you should be sit.
Wow, that's very tiring, honestly.
I know,
it's like always thinking about that.
It's mentally draining.
Too much pressure.
So draining.
Yeah,
but it just becomes a habit, I think, once you grew up in this like world, it just becomes a habit that you stop worrying about it until if sometimes you do something the opposite of what they expect you, and they'll be like, okay, you did something, change it, you know.
Yeah,
but going back to your question, like answering the fact of how did it come from, I think it came from, like as May said, from societal expectations, like from society levels,
right?
Like there are some certain, like bin shawari, if you do this, that means you're not a respectable woman
or like a feminine woman,
a presentable woman in a way,
like you always have to like be classy,
etiquette,
there's like
bourgeois.
some like physical appearance that you always have to show, things like that,
especially if you want to get married in the Arab world, like you know, like people look at you like you're this girl that growing up into this, this is the girl that we're gonna ask for marriage in the future, you know, like if you know people, because that's how it's happens over there. It happens.
Branding, branding image from the start.
Exactly.
Exactly.
When you're self-branding
from when the age of 8.
No, exactly. No, it's true.
It's also because of
the
that
branding,
like,
of yourself is crazy. So embedded in our culture.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and like talking about presentable, I have another question. In our experiences, how does our culture define what's considered presentable for a woman?
Like as in looks?
Whatever way. Like how does our culture define what's considered presentable? It could be like looks. It could be way of talking, way of speaking. Mm-hmm. Like what do they...
Yeah, for looks, I always grew up around like a society where like you always have to shave your arms, you always have to be hairless, you always have to be skinny, you always have to have your hair done at the salon once every week, get your eyebrows done once every week, have your toes done, shit like that, and I'm like stuff like that, and I'm like, yeah, I can't with my curly hair and like my thick eyebrows. I can't like accommodate every single week to go. It's like at the age of 14, 13. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
you're so young. It's
what?
It's unbelievable.
Like I know people who would do like keratin hair treatment at the age of 13. I went through that because I was bullied in high school for having curly hair, right? And for like presentable other than looks, I would say, for example, like as you guys said, like laughing like in a very low voice, or like talking in a very like monotonous tone,
and not saying everything.
Not saying
certain things.
Yeah.
I think this is a big thing.
Short answers only.
Yeah,
one
like,
word answers.
Don't do details. Mm-hmm. Like don't talk about a lot of details, and like actually see what the other person is saying, and answer like exactly what they ask you.
Elaborate. Don't yap. Yap city is not
especially if you're talking to older women. I feel like this is more pressure. You feel more pressure when you're talking to older people than like people your age.
Right.
People your age, you don't feel as much
judgment.
You do, but not as much.
Not as much.
As with older ones.
Older women, yeah.
Especially if they're looking for a wife to their children.
I was going to say that because they would see you as a target. They would see you like, is she like a good wife for my son? And especially if they're like mommy's boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I had my cousin, her mom received a call from a girl, like a woman asking for her hand or whatever. And like this girl, like this woman comes and calls and like, what's her height? What's her tall? What's her color too?
Wow.
Like even these questions, these like specific questions she would ask just to know like how, like they don't care about the personality as much as they look how she's presented as a woman and how she looks.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, like guys say like, okay, we want this girl to be this height. We do too, but this height, this tall, this whatever.
Yeah.
And they will start, like the moms would start looking for,
right,
for girls who have these certain looks or certain personalities. So they can match them with matchmakers.
So like a traditional view, I feel like you see these in the historical movies, but like it happens today. It's still happening today. Yeah.
Because I feel like, sorry, go ahead.
No. Continue. I'm just saying like it's traditional. Yeah.
Because I feel like they have this mentality of like min rabbi ala idna, like
in a way
we shape her personality. It doesn't matter like what, like it matters the way she looks. Her personality doesn't matter because like we reshape her.
Okay, so like we can change her kind
exactly.
of
anyway, maybe, yeah. We can fix her.
Yeah, it could be something like that too. Yeah,
that's like if she gets married young.
When she's young, they know that, and also like they choose her. Choose like the families usually choose, like word of mouth really matter. So this is another thing to add to how to look present, like you need to of why we need to look presentable. Because word of mouth, it's because if you go out and you laugh in a certain way outside or you do stuff in a certain way, and then people see you and they talk about you this way to the family, then no one is gonna come to you and you will not get engaged.
Reputation matters a lot.
Reputation is like the top thing.
It's like it's like what breaks you or shapes you, to be honest. It gets you places or it ruins you.
Exactly. To continue, I have another question, but first let's go on
some music, guys. We have two or three music songs we're gonna show you today. We're gonna start by Bayou. He's a Egyptian American artist. But I really love his songs personally. I feel like he really values like the woman and like really writes beautiful songs about like about women in general. So I'm gonna listen to this. It's called Nishar Bilil by Bayou. Enjoy,
guys.
Enjoy.
نسهر بالليل ظهرت قدامي وحدة أنا ما شفتش منها اتنين الساعة اتنين وامتى نتجمع سوا نسهر تاني احنا الاتنين مشي فضلت مخطوط دي ملكني السما فت أنا كمالهاش كبير يا زميلي محلاها مشيت فضلت مخطوط دي ملكني السما كمالهاش كبير يا زميلي محلاها نسهر بالليل ظهرت قدامي وحدة أنا ما شفتش منها اتنين الساعة اتنين وامتى نتجمع سوا نسهر تاني احنا الاتنين حبيبي فين وانا جيلك فعني انا شيلك اسيب كل الناس ولا نسيبك انت فين وانا جيلك فعني انا شيلك نفسي طول الليل اغنيلك ايدي في ايدك ونسهر بالليل ظهرت قدامي واحدة انا ما شفتش منها تليل الساعة اتنين وانت
ولا كان على بالي تقويني تناي طلعت من الآلي ويجي مي دوز عايز خليكي فكراني I'm gonna be outside so when you see me outside نسهر بالليل Productions Nuit d'Afrique invites you to the gala of the 17th edition of the Silly d'Or de la Musique du Monde. Come out to La Tulipe on Tuesday, April 25th at 8 p.m. for extraordinary performances from the finalists for the awards and vote to help them win the Silly d'Or, the Silly d'Argent, or the Silly de Bronze. Les Silly d'Or de la Musique du Monde gala is sure to expand your musical horizons. For more information, sillydor.com.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You talking to me?
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome back to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. It was a nice break.
Yeah,
it was.
Love that song.
Yeah, the song is so cute. Yeah. I like it.
We
I love
jamming
it.
Out. Really yeah. Nice.
It's my first time hearing it.
Really? Yeah.
You introduced me to Bayou yeah. last time when yeah. before we went to DJ Habibi.
Right. Oh my god, yeah.
When we were like getting right. ready. It was a really nice song.
Very unique. I feel like he does like, he has this like, he's Egyptian, so he has like, you know, he uses his dialect, so it's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. cool. Yeah. It's really cool. So let's move on with our topic today. One of the other questions that we had prepared is, have you ever felt like you had to behave or speak a certain way to be respected in front of people?
Yeah.
Is this something yeah, that you've been with before? And if yes, tell
I
me.
I did feel that even if I didn't really live in an Arab country, I've spent a lot of time with my family and things like that. So there is like a certain like way to like, you know, behave in front of family, obviously, different than like with your friends or even at school. I feel like school I had so much freedom to express myself, and like I wasn't really judged by who I am. But like when I had to go to see family, like it's a different type of behavior that I had to like show. It's just to, like, of course you have to respect your family, things like that, that's like obvious. Yeah. But like it's just like respecting the elders is also super important, but that's something that I agree and something that we should all do. But sometimes like be careful on like what you say, like any opinions that you have, you can't say it, otherwise like mm-hmm. it's just gonna cause chaos,
especially
like
controversial
yeah. issues, controversial topics. Like, be careful, don't talk about politics, you know, it's like things like that. It just like sometimes like you've heard it by so many people that at the end like you're kind of like you don't want to you put yourself into that, even though you have your own opinions and you have your own values. It just like some people may look at you differently, or like you don't want it to cause any problems, you just want to mm-hmm. be this perfect person too, so that like ideal representation that you want to hold, because you cherish that and things like that, because also you care about it sometimes. It affects you also like emotionally and like yeah, so
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And personally mm-hmm. what about you, May?
I would also like say like heavy controversial topics were not allowed mm-hmm. to be honest, mm-hmm. and even like for example very personal stuff. And I would say also like not as a woman, you shouldn't fight back, you know, like a girl shouldn't fight back, shouldn't yell, shouldn't curse, mm-hmm. all of that. So I was always like feeling like, okay, if I have to do a conversation with someone, I would have to match their flow, match their vibe, agree on everything that they said. They're right. 100%. So I can stay on the safe side.
Right. So you like you see your surroundings. You see how people behave around you, and that it reflects on your behavior too.
Yeah.
It's like that, like kind of like peer pressuring and like in those like yeah. environments. Like you kind of see someone older than you, for example, and you're young, like, and then they behave a certain way. And when you're older, you're gonna kind of copy that behavior that you've seen previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, but it also like affects one's personality like negatively. Like you, like if you don't know how to speak up for yourself from a young age, like you grow up and you don't know how to do that at all. So I feel, feel like I struggled with that, like not fighting back, whatever. It caused a lot of like things you that I had to learn. I see it now.
But now just because I get it. To be honest, like it's very hard to be in a place where you cannot speak up. Like it's not something easy to be, and like especially speaking about controversial topics or even like personal topics. I used to be like, one thing I had in my family was like, we didn't used to speak about periods. That was a topic that was like just between me and my mom.
Yeah,
but like we never spoke to it out loud until like now. Okay. I feel more comfortable. But before, like it was like Aib, this is for you, Aib. Like you know, like this is how my mom was like. You know, like she was shy too. Like you don't need to say it to everyone.
Same.
You know.
Yeah.
Same.
So
on that, my mom was different. My mom just like yelled it out. The whole house heard. Like Maria. So no, for me it's different, but I guess from case to case, obviously.
Something that we didn't used to talk about, like even though it's a normal thing for girls to have periods, but it's just something in the house that was not like very spoken of out loud.
Even in schools, I would say for me, like they would take all girls like and to the theater, and they would like give us like a lecture on periods, and then they they let the boys like play in the playground, and then when we go they're like, oh, what did you guys do? And we were like, oh, we were just watching a play. And then, no, we know that they were talking about periods. And I was like, how do you know periods? And I just like learned about it today. Like, what?
It's crazy. It's crazy how,
it's
crazy how topics, there's no.
Sixth grade.
They knew it before you.
I wasn't even 12, bro. I was like,
they have probably like older sisters, things like that.
Probably,
maybe. Maybe in their family.
But you don't have to make it like that clear. Like we just told you, like we were watching a play.
You don't need to say it. You don't need to say it.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, yeah. It's pressuring. It's something. Wait, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay. Period. It's pressuring. Period.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to the next topic. To the continuation of our topic. What did people around you consider the ideal look? I don't know if that's the same question
we
as
answered,
presentable.
Yeah.
Or
I think it's related in a way.
Yeah.
But maybe it's focused physically, but I think I discussed that.
Okay.
I think you can add on that. Like, what was the question again? Ideal look?
Like, what did people around you consider the ideal look of how you're supposed to look? Like, you know?
I think it's like also, I can like always mention social media. I feel like people, they base their ideal look on social media and they project that to others. They're like, oh, like, you should wear this. But then the reason why they say that is because they were influenced by something that they've seen previously.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things like that. So that, that ideal look, obviously, that I feel like it's a big part of it comes from social media.
And before social media, like the series, TV series, that we have, the Syrian Lebanese Egyptian Lebanese series,
like they put your standards
full on,
so high,
full on makeup. Oh my god, like you'd see the like tight dresses, like the hair, I'm like,
yo. Yeah, no, it's intense. It's
intense. Especially newer ones, like you'd see them cooking but they have high heels and they're like cooking.
Like those films like in the 1800s and they have like Botox, like lash lift, like, excuse me.
Like it doesn't make
it's
sense
insane, it honestly, doesn't make think sense about it.
I know I think it's just the culture and like the way you see people are presented, you want to be like them because you see everyone's like going to them and speaking to them, so you feel like you want to do that too.
So basically the entertainment industry from back
maximalism
back from the the beginning of the 1900s, like it's when TV started, it just from there it was like
magazines, newspapers, TV shows,
the obsession,
movies,
the obsession with like magazines and the TV shows and like the plays. Guys,
Even in the plays.
It started in the plays, guys, actually.
Like Egyptian ones, but those are iconic. I'm sorry.
I know they are.
They used to be like the
so good.
Egyptian plays, the old ones.
Oh my god, yes.
They're so funny so nice.
Madrasa al-Mushaghibin.
I heard about it a lot, but I never watched it, you know?
I think even me, I've seen it.
Wow.
You, wow.
I think I've seen it. My mom, she showed it to me.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
I heard a lot about it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, my Egyptian people. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, no, iconic. But I get what you guys mean about that appearance that they portray even from like back.
And to be honest, like you feel it with the more like you feel it with people around you. Like back home when I used to be, for example, in Syria, I didn't feel it because I was young. But when I was in Dubai, for example, I still remember like people would look at you in a judgmental way.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice it until I came here. Mm. Until I noticed actually here people like they don't give.
They don't care. Yeah, they don't
like,
care.
Whatever you do, like you can dress however way you want.
No, exactly.
No one would look at you.
It's no, exactly.
Like, you know, and if you dress too much, this is when it becomes like, okay, what are you doing?
That's when they look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is when they look at you.
Yeah.
But over there, it's like. Yeah, is it really?
Why are you wearing neon green socks? You shouldn't wear that.
Yeah.
Bro, I used to wear colored socks to school all the time. And they would be like, I swear, they would take pictures of my feet and make fun of it in freaking group chats and be like, look, socks of the day. And I'm like,
wow.
You jealous bitches.
yeah,
that's
crazy.
Like socks. Yeah, that's crazy. No, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy how like. They judge based on appearance or based on like what you're wearing or like based on like if you don't do this that means you're not a classy person.
True.
You're not a presentable person of who we want to be.
We do have that a lot in the Arab countries.
I do.
The classiness, the portrayal, it's super important.
But I feel like hella classiness is being very misunderstood, especially when everyone is like becoming so obsessed with like cosmetic surgery and it's ruining instead of like giving remember when we in last episode we were talking about quiet luxury and the natural beauty and whatever. Cosmetic surgery right now is being so
it's booming.
Overdone.
Mm.
Like you feel like what? Shoo. Like your mom looks exactly like you. You don't know who's 20.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with surgery as long as you do it for like to improve yourself and to improve your confidence. That's of course it's something that is valid, but like
don't let
abusing it, I feel like there's a limit to it. It's always good to use it for a certain purpose, for self-confidence, for health reasons. Some people use it for health reasons, like for a nose surgery, things like that, but like there's a limit to it and
exaggerate.
Exaggerations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
I agree cosmetics are becoming too much. I don't feel like I've seen a lot of people in Canada who has a lot
the
of
Arab community here. They do the nose, a lot. Yeah,
the brows, the Arabs, lips, the nose, heavy on
it's
the nose.
It's crazy how they still live up to these.
I had to do like nose surgery, right? But no, it was very considered cosmetic, but it's not. You know, it's still like it. You get the feeling of like, oh, you did surgery because you don't feel good about your nose. And I'm like, no.
It's not because of that.
No.
Okay, Then maybe, sorry if we hurt anyone. We don't mean
just
that.
Just put it out there.
Yeah,
to be clear.
Yeah, and just like, you guys like were born very, very beautiful. So don't like ruin it just because of society thinks, and you guys are not pretty. You know what I mean? And no, everyone is shaped
don't
in...
Don't feel the pressure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Everyone is shaped in a very... like written way, yani madruse, how we were like born, you know, so we don't have to ruin it just because I don't know, someone who's not confident about themselves mirror it to us. And I feel that's how it starts.
Talking about pressure, how do you think constant pressure to look a certain way affects someone's confidence or self-image? Because you talked about self-image
a lot. I feel like you look in the mirror, you either don't recognize yourself, you hate yourself, or you want to like, I don't know, kill yourself or remove your skin and be like, oh my god, I want to be this in a brand new person right now. And I remember when I was like 14, I was like, I wanted to do this, I wanted to be lighter, I wanted to cut all my hair and have like straight hair, I wanted like I don't know, to lose weight so bad, like to drop thin. It's like you look in the mirror, like you don't even want to look at the mirror at one point. You just khalas. You don't take pictures, nothing.
Yeah, I had that with my braces when I did have braces.
Same, I had braces too.
I feel like braces reduces self-confidence. Like for me, it actually changed my whole personality. Like I became calmer first thing, like, especially since I came here to Canada, like, I had braces. Mm-hmm. Like, I became a totally different person. After I removed them, like, my confidence went
ego boost.
Really? Bodem, like, okay. All the way up. Yeah. It was my first year at university. Like, when wow. I met you, like, I didn't have my braces. Mm. When I did meet you, I did have braces.
I remember. Yeah, but they weren't, like, that, like, visible, to be honest. I wouldn't, like, oh my God, Judy has braces. Like, I know, have focus on your teeth.
I think the person feels
best. You
more
were
than,
different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, personality yourself, wise, yeah. I remember you were, like, calmer. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just like this shift from like having this, okay, you're like your teeth, you feel like there's something uncomfortable. Yeah. You're just like not confident.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
Naturally, without you feeling it. It's just something psychological. I don't know how to
it
explain
is.
It. Yeah.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah. But then after, confident booster.
As you should. Confident booster. You should.
Yeah. So talking about confident boosters and everything, does any of you remember a moment or a time where they also felt uncomfortable with how they looked? Or
yeah, I felt it. I feel like everyone goes through it in some way. Mm-hmm. When I lived in France when I was in my teens, there are a lot of people. There's a lot of societal expectation, even if it's not an Arab country. Like, you have to wear nice at 14. You have to hold a purse to school. Don't wear a backpack because that's lame. Like, there's like things like that. Wear like a nice long coat, like this like Parisian style that we used to follow at like the age of 13. Like it was crazy. I started like straightening my hair. I started to like mm-hmm. wear like high heeled boots at like 13. Wow. I remember my black bag. I had like. For 5 years, I got it from H&M, and I used to wear it like for school every day, like wow. a purse, not even a backpack, wow. just to fit in. I used to study, of course, like that idea of like straightening your hair, wearing like a long, nice coat, like mm-hmm. nice boots with like a nice bag, things like that. Like, because everyone around you used to do that, and then like you felt the pressure of doing it, mm-hmm. and then you also have that like judgmental looks in like the really? Public transportation. Mm-hmm. Oh wow. yeah, big wow. time. No, France, like it's intense. It's way intense than here. That looks, everything like that. Like it just it's a lot. But especially younger.
But did you feel like you fit in with all that? Like, did you feel like you were fitting in?
I did eventually, yeah, because I was like kind of wearing the same stuff everyone else was wearing, you know, like that.
So
like,
it did help.
Yeah, right? Like that yeah. purse, that the high heel boots, the yeah, the straightened hair, things wow. like that. Yeah, like I used to put my hair up when I was younger, mm-hmm. and then like eventually at the age of like 13, 14, I let it down. I was like, let me just be like everyone else. But it affects you like mentally. Too, it's like it's kind of mentally draining and things like that. Like it wasn't really fun to deal with that. Like I wish I had to, like I had more like self-expression. I had to kind of like discover like what I like, what I don't like, instead of just like following the crowd. Mm-hmm. But it's something you don't realize when you're like uh-huh. 13, 14.
But do you think that this is type of self-expression in a way, even though we like we follow the people, you know, like you follow certain people to look, because you like the way you look, they look, you know, like, and it's also yeah. part of pressuring, because
I see what you
people
mean,
are yeah. judgmental, but also you find your way through that, like not at that time, but maybe now. Do you think?
But like, for example, like I used to like, I don't know, like I used to see videos and like of people wearing differently than what I used to yeah. see around me. But then since no one really dressed that way, I'm just like, okay, will I fit in if I dress this way that I've seen like on a YouTube video, for example, mm-hmm. you know? So like I've seen like other ways of like you know, presenting yourself, but no one really around me presented themselves
so
that way.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll just like follow everyone else I know instead of like maybe following a,
yeah.
something that I saw on YouTube that looks really, really cool. But I wish yeah. I did it, but I couldn't because maybe people will judge me. You know?
I used to follow the YouTube videos, to be honest, because
yeah.
but I have a question. Like, do you guys think like societies were building us to look, to all of us look the same? Like for
question.
All of us like to look like the same. You can't recognize anyone from the other with like specific.
I think it wasn't like that in the beginning.
Way.
Maybe it was a bit, but not like as much as now. I think
yeah.
the pressure of everyone looking the same right now is too much because of social media.
Yeah.
Because of the intense media and intense TV shows, especially the Arab ones. If you
yeah.
look at them, like the intense makeup or the intense cosmetic surgery or the intense, like you want to have Nancy Ajram's nose, Haifa's mouth, Haifa's lips, cheeks. There's like, this is how you go like to the cosmetic surgeon and like, this is what you tell them. Like you want this artist's face, you know?
Because
you're so obsessed with them to the point that you want to have their look so you can have their confidence in a way.
But yeah, that comes back to like, you know, following the others and things like that. Following the trend. That's like very common.
I remember when like the typical Arab girl look was very like common back home, which is like the straight hair, the jewelry, the tight clothing, the crop tops, whatever.
With the jeans.
With the jeans. And I'm like here wearing
that's
my...
That's like Tumblr vibes kind of thing.
It was more like King Kylie.
King Kylie, okay.
King Kylie, but I was like more into the flannels, chokers.
I remember those days.
Baggy. Yeah, those days. Bro, I was so judged. They were to call me tomboy. And that's why I lost a big part of my femininity in my teens because of that.
Okay, right.
I hear you. It's a very like interesting way of like looking at it in terms of like how it shaped us or like how it shaped like our looks right now,
right.
Like I do feel a shift in how I wanted to look before and now how you still like have your own
style.
But yeah, I feel like as you grow older you kind of find your like way, find your path, you find your style,
of
things
course,
like that, and then you kind of care less about how other people view you.
It's
a big thing when you're younger.
Okay, moving on. So shifting standards after moving abroad. So after we moved, so for example, you, Mariam, you moved from France to here.
Yes.
How was your experience? And for example, you, May, how was your experience when you moved from Lebanon to here? And were like adjusting to a place where beauty standards were more relaxed? I feel like here it's more relaxed than over there in terms of like how you're supposed to look.
That's true. There's like there's this common like mentality people may know, like that like North American mentality where like there's like a kind of like a stereotype where like, oh, Americans, they go to Walmart with like pyjama.
I don't
know if you guys know that, but it's true people go to Walmart with their PJs, but that you will never find in France, for example. You'll never find someone who goes with their sweatpants at like Walmart or another typical store in France. Like you go to a supermarket in France, you have to wear nice, at least minimum jeans. Like you cannot go with sweatpants here.
Wow.
You can go to a supermarket with sweatpants. Like you can go with your PJs. No one will say anything. Like
With their slippers.
Yeah, in America it's even like the same, probably twice as more common, because Montreal is more like a multicultural city. It's a bit more they kind of a little bit care more about their appearance than some cities in America.
Yeah.
But I knew that when coming here in Canada, because I lived in America before and I kind of knew their culture over there. So coming to Canada, I'm like, okay, this is more like a chill environment. Like I can kind of wear more comfortable clothes. Like I remember I came here in high school and I was wearing a uniform, so I didn't really need to think about what I had to wear for the next like 2 years. So I used to always wear the uniform, so it was something that was easy for me. But yeah, when I came here it was very very more relaxed. You can wear your sweatpants when you go to a supermarket. It's fine.
You don't have to
think about like every single place you go, think about where you what you need to wear. So
interesting. It's a big shift, right?
Big
like
shift.
You feel like more, you say you felt more comfortable.
I felt more comfortable, especially when I came to high school here. Like I didn't really need to think about what to wear because I used to wear a uniform, which really helps you. It's like it removes that
nicer
judgment from students and things like that. I feel like it helps a lot. Uniforms at school, but
I used to hate uniforms at school, actually. I used to hate them, but after
it's
like
practical
same.
looking at it when I grew older, I'm like, no, actually it's way
easy.
Nicer.
You don't have to worry.
Imagine you have to worry. Like right now we come to university and like you worry comes somehow. You do like have care, take care. So like you do worry sometimes, but like it's not as like the school thing. I think school more pressure. What about you, May?
I was gonna ask, what about your experience first?
You start first.
Okay, perfect. For me, I feel like coming here, I was so comfortable with like staying like my curly hair, mm-hmm. because I was like 8 months. I was like here. I didn't go. I didn't meet anyone. I didn't know anyone. So I was comfortable like doing my, until I started working with Arabs, and I stayed like taking care of my curly hair and everything. But at one point I felt like no, like let me straighten it every once in a while so I can feel like. Mm-hmm. A change, and then it got like a habit, and I went back to the old days of like straightening my hair.
Expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like, oh my god, like when I started university, I was like, oh my god, I have to be like those Arab girlies who have like these big bags and like their hair is always straight, and they have their jewelries, and they're like, let's go get bubble tea type vibe. You know what I mean?
Do you think you were influenced by people around you, or more by like social media?
I feel like, no, it was more like from what I was seeing rather than social media, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always been from what I was seeing surroundings.
Okay.
Use with you.
So I'm going to continue with you, and then I'll speak about myself. I had a question. So you felt like you were pressured because of the way of the Arabs, because you were surrounded by Arabs. But do you think if you weren't surrounded by Arabs, have felt more relaxed, or is it just like
I could dye my hair pink and no one would care. I could go like bald and no one would care, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But still, no, like I still had like to think of the idea of doing laser sessions, the hair. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna talk about myself. No.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. Okay. Basically, for me, it was adjusting to a place where beauty standards were more relaxed. I didn't feel the pressure, so I was very glad with that. Like, I felt more comfortable with who I am. At first, I told you already, because of my braces, it was a bit hard. I did feel judged because of my braces. And because of COVID, we gained weight and all of that. So I did feel uncomfortable because of that. Mm-hmm. But then after COVID, and then after I started taking care of myself, and I started to go out here in Canada and Montreal and moving around and like meeting new people and everything, I started to like, okay, see, people don't really judge here, you know, like I don't care about what people, why should I care about what people think, you know? I started to have like develop this mentality and seeing it in other people, especially in the winter. I don't know, because here people wear their jacket for the full, they wear the same jacket for the full winter. Like, in Syria, I don't think it's like that. People change every once in a while.
Yeah,
Dubai,
true,
it's the
true,
same
true.
Thing.
Yeah. And the climate France. Also actually, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Here they stay wearing the same thing. Mm. They might wear like pajamas, whatever. So I didn't feel this pressure of like having to do. Also, I used to be like you, like doing my hair every day. That was in Dubai the last year or like the years before. Did you have this trend where you had to straighten your hair from the front and like keep your curly hair?
Yes.
I remember.
It was like because I was always like, oh my god, like شعرك من قدامك
كثير منكوش.
Yeah. You would be like straightening ولا ما بعرف ولا doing هذه الغرة اللي بتحطيها ورا دينك وما بعرف شو.
يعني بس front.
Curly.
بس you do the front.
Yeah,
but
you do the front.
And then the rest is.
Yeah, the rest is curly. Yeah.
Never again. Look at my I have a picture. I swear to God,
guys, for after.
If you look at the pictures now, I'm like, okay, why did I do that? Like, why didn't I leave like either my whole hair curly or like my whole or straightened it all? But like it was just straight from the front.
Never heard about that one. Thank God.
Alhamdulillah. You're lucky.
The perks of not living in an Arab world.
The perks of living abroad. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Dubai. Yeah. This was in Dubai, not even in Syria. In Syria, I kept my natural hair, and the weather helped a lot. Like in Dubai, because. Yeah. It's so humid. Your hair is so like curly and so like beanfush, and it gets puffy. So it was helpful for me to come here and become more relaxed and like have my hair, natural hair, down and like taking care of it.
That's cute.
So it's something, it's something that I worked on, like I feel like, to be able to feel more relaxed too. And I've seen people how they don't judge, you know. But Arabs, to be honest, they do judge. I do still see it.
They still do hear,
and they still. I still feel the pressure from them.
Honest, same.
You do still feel the pressure somehow, but I feel like it's from us. It has to come start from us to start.
I feel like the younger generation is a bit more like reluctant to judgment now. Like mm-hmm. I feel like as Arabs and as the younger generation, I feel like we're more aware of that. So hopefully we don't, you know.
Hopefully, yeah. Spread I really it as hope much so.
As yeah.
as the other generations. But yeah,
yeah.
I really hope so. I really it's hope so. Love. Like people, like younger generation, mm-hmm, can mm-hmm. like live mm-hmm. and. Not up to what people expect of them to live as
exactly.
to live up to what they expect themselves to
exactly.
be
exactly
you know yeah. it's very yeah. hard to do to be like that, especially now with social media and like
I feel like I have I feel like the upcoming generation is more outspoken, more mm-hmm. confident, mm-hmm. more I feel like, especially with kids, like they're so smart and yeah. like yeah. yeah, so I feel like ما بين خاف عليهم to be
no,
honest
no. yeah yeah yeah
so yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but sometimes you'd be like, okay, what if, like, actually they might have that, you know? Like, sometimes Lulia, my cousin, would be like, okay, I want to put makeup. Like, I want to put this. But, like, you know, like, the other day, she's like, oh, I don't have to put makeup. I'm not going to, like, a fancy place. It's okay. Like,
yeah.
she told me that yesterday, actually. She's like, you know, I'm not going to put makeup. It's not for... I don't know how she like
from school she, probably
yeah she knows
like, she knows she this knows. She's 6 years old from like school. It's yeah. crazy
no know? Yeah no exactly
like
yeah.
not in fancy like not going somewhere like fancy or Iris or like a wedding yeah. whatever you know yeah, so yeah, it's
yeah.
crazy
no yeah really I love that we have still hope from the for the younger generations and even yeah. for us so we'll yeah. be back guys we have some few ads and some music and we'll be on our way
yes
yay
enjoy
Mark your calendars for an exciting new event from Crossover Comics. Award-winning comic book author Ryan North will be launching his new book, Marvel Comics, One World Under Doom, number one. You may know Ryan North from many of his other works, including The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Danger and Other Unknown Risks, and the Adventure Time and Star Trek Lower Decks comics, not to mention the legendary Dinosaur comics. The event will take place on February 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Crossover Comics, located at 3560 Rue Notre Dame West in Saint-Henri. Fans will also have the opportunity to meet the author, get their comics and books signed, and have a chat with him about his work. For more information, visit us in store or contact us at 514-284-7373.
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop every Monday at 5 on CGLO 1690 AM or CGLO.com.
حكايتي زهقاني من كل الدنيا
Welcome back, guys. I know this song is a bit sad, but if people who don't know Arabic, it's like about this girl who's like talking to herself on the in front of the mirror and just like really reflecting on who she was and things like that. We really love this music.
And, yeah,
it's Yamrati by Elissa. It's a very Elissa is a very
icon.
She's an icon. She's a Lebanese artist.
Yeah,
and her songs are always about like. So calm. Like
Rawan, nice. Our friend, she loves her so much. So, yeah.
Shout out to you.
Shout out
to also Mimi's sister. She's Yusra. Thank you for this suggestion.
Thank you. It
matches the whole theme of today, which is you felt like my mirror. You felt what I'm feeling and you saw what I saw.
Exactly.
And you saw what I'm scared and you saw when I stopped and looked, you know?
Thank you for the translation, Judy. Mm-hmm.
No, of course. So it's about nostalgic feelings when you were looking at the mirror and talking about that. I have this question for reflection. And the question is, what would you tell your younger self about beauty or self-worth? So if you are right now standing in front of the mirror with your younger self, what would you tell her about beauty or self-worth?
It's a big question.
I can answer that.
Okay,
I can,
go ahead. Yeah.
I would be like, the first thing I would do is don't listen to the girls who thought that they own everything and they have everything because they're the ones who they're not authentic till this day. Mm. And who cares, like, if guys didn't like your curly hair or like you didn't get your eyebrows done, like, you still look pretty. And even though like you get bullied by your siblings sometimes, it doesn't matter. Or like you're getting bullied in general, it doesn't matter. And I wish you learned how to love yourself sooner.
Such a nice way. Thanks.
For me, it's more about this is temporary. it will pass. That like feeling of low confidence, that feeling of like not being enough. It's a phase, and it's something that will be reduced as you grow older and as you meet better people in your life and things like that. So just saying that to my younger self, be patient, and everything will get better very soon.
Yeah, so nice. Yeah.
What about you?
Me, I would look into the mirror and tell myself, you didn't have to please all these people to be the girl in the school. I think this is something I didn't notice until now, especially in school. I used to like help my friends all the time or like do whatever they want, and I forgot about myself in a way. Until now, it happens.
I agree.
So,
oh my god,
this is something I really struggled with. So I would just tell her, like, as Mimi said too, like, it will pass, and it did pass. And your self-worth is not by your beautiness or how much you give people. It's how much you love yourself and how much you put effort on yourself and you value yourself.
Yeah.
Not how much people would put effort or value on you.
Yeah,
you.
Of course. Yeah.
I think that's something.
That's beautiful.
Lovely.
It's such a dramatic outro, to be honest.
I know, I'm so hugging you guys after.
No, but I love this question. When you told me about this one, I'm like, we have to include it.
Yeah,
right
no.
Now.
No, exactly. I love that.
Okay, do we answer one last question?
We can.
Or no?
Yeah, we can.
Okay,
yeah,
we can.
We still have a couple minutes.
Yeah, we have like 1 minute to answer
one
it. If you could reshape the beauty expectations in our culture, what would you keep and what would you let go?
You had a good answer, May, about this one.
Like, what would you keep in our culture of beauty expectations?
Oh, yeah. I would actually keep the natural recipes, like the beauty secrets that we have. Because I was telling you guys, like, we're so rich. Mm-hmm. Our culture is so rich when it comes to that. Moroccan soap, Syrian soap, turmeric, rose water, blue Nila powder. All of that.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we were like, kohol as well. So we're known to have all these beauty secrets from, like... Cleopatra's days, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my god. So like, let's not go to laser and cosmetic surgery and go back to our roots and like how
avoid
we
avoid any dangerous ingredients, cancer
chemicals,
go back to the naturals.
Like true.
All right, guys, thank you all for listening. This is the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. Please stay tuned for next week, Thursday at same hour, 3 PM to 4 PM.
See you, guys.
Thank you. Bye bye.